One-time WWF Hardcore Champion. Two-time WWE Women's Champion. WWE Hall of Fame Class of 2021. My heart is so happy. Everyone who knows me knows how much I love and adore this woman. I think she is the GOAT. I don't think there's anybody better. Ladies, gentlemen, my non-binary friends, it is I, Josh Robinson, here for Love Wrestling. And this week, we're discussing the legacy of Molly Holly. Whether you refer to her as Miss Madness, Mighty Molly, or Molly Holly, we all can agree on one thing. Molly Holly is an unsung hero of WWE and the early period of women's wrestling in the late 90s and early to mid 2000s. Now, I'll be the first one to admit this. When I make the legacy of, I have people in mind. Obviously, there's an audience for this show, and I'm like, okay, I need to kind of cater to different kinds of audiences so that, you know, we're getting a little bit of everything. But when I decided that it was finally time to do an episode on Molly Holly, this is purely for Josh. This is purely for me. I am being selfish in this episode because anyone who knows me knows how much I admire and appreciate and love Molly Holly. I just think in that time of women's wrestling, she was the one that held everything together. Yes, it's easy to talk about Trish and Lita and all of those badass women from that time just, you know, being huge stars. But Molly Holly was like the glue, and she was like the one in the middle that kind of kept everything moving and was like a well-oiled machine. She is so good at professional wrestling, and I'm just going to gush about Molly Holly for the next 10 minutes because I truly, truly do love Molly Holly. And up until her Hall of Fame induction in 2021, this year, we really didn't hear a lot about Molly Holly here and there. We would see her pop up. But she kind of stepped away from professional wrestling for so long, and she wasn't talked about in high regards. And I was like, yes, come on, let's talk about Molly Holly, because she's so damn good at what she did, and I'm sure could still do. I mean, we've seen her pop up at the Royal Rumble a couple of times as both Molly Holly and Mighty Molly. And we've seen her kind of pop in at Evolution and different things. She now works as a producer, but, you know, that's all now. Let's take a little look at the career of one Molly Holly. WCW fans would first witness Miss Madness in 1999. She was, of course, one of Randy Savage's valets, and she was doing different things behind the scenes, including helping train other women along with Medusa at the WCW Power Plant. But we would see her kind of get betrayed by Randy Savage and then kind of move on to other things, and she wouldn't become Mona. She would become that character, and she was in different kinds of WCW games like WCW Backstage Assault and other things. That's where I first was introduced to a lot of people in WCW when I was a kid, because I didn't watch WCW until a little later in life. So I was playing the video games as a young kid, as a young little dude, and I was, you know, seeing people like different people that I wasn't seeing on WWF programming. But she was there. She didn't really do that much, and she really wasn't in WCW all that long. People always tend to kind of go, oh, she was there for so long, and then WWF scooped her up. That wasn't really the case at all. She was released in 2000 as a cost-cutting move from WCW, and that's where she would kind of move on to WWF in the same year. Like, I mean, it's pretty cool to say that you went from one place to another and did so much more than you ever could imagine that you were doing in WCW, now being able to do in WWF. Molly Holly would debut on the November 6th, 2000 edition of Raw. She started a short feud with Trish Stratus. Of course, TNA, Test Albert, and Trish Stratus were feuding with Bob Holly and Crash Holly, and she would join her fellow cousins and get her first ever victory over Stratus in a six-person intergender tag team match at the Survivor Series in 2000. She would start using the Molly Go-Round finisher and defeat Stratus in her first ever singles match in WWF on the November 23rd, 2000 edition of SmackDown. The Molly Go-Round, that is so iconic and so just partnered with her now. It is her move. She learnt that from Dean Malenko, or Dean Malenko was the first person to actually take the Molly Go-Round from from Molly in WWF, and even beforehand, she was trained by Dean Malenko. Anybody that's trained by Dean Malenko, who I think is, if not the greatest, one of the greatest technical wrestlers ever to lace up a pair of boots. He's so damn good. So anybody who's trained by him is, if, and could just be a small sample of what he can do in the ring, you're pretty damn good. So Molly was in good company and she was trained by a great, great professional wrestler. So Dean would help her get the Molly go-round finisher. She would do it on Stratus in her first ever victory in singles competition, like I said, in the year 2000. Now, things got a little spicy in 2001 when Molly would form an on-screen relationship with Spike Dudley. Of course, the Hollies and the Dudleys were rivals at the time, so this was very much like Romeo and Juliet. How could Molly and Spike be together when the Dudleys and the Hollies hate each other? It's one of my earliest memories in wrestling, or at least going back and watching wrestling, being like, I remember watching this and being so involved in this because it was so cheesy and so corny, but it's so much fun to watch that kind of stuff, you know, and to see how they would get together at different stages and behind the Hollies and the Dudleys back was the best thing. Molly was so much fun in those times, and Spike, and Molly has stated in multiple different interviews in later years saying that relationship, quote unquote, with Spike Dudley was the best time of her career. She said, you know, it's so much fun to work with in those situations. But they would eventually split. I know, everyone was so sad. And this would lead to an intergender singles match, and Molly actually pinned Crash Holly. If anyone can remember that in 2001, it happened. It happened. In September of 2001, after Molly had dumped Spike, she became Mighty Molly, the superhero sidekick of the Hurricane. Now, a lot of people would look at Mighty Molly as some of the best work of Molly Holly's career. It didn't last all that long. Eventually, Molly would, you know, turn on the Hurricane to become a full-time solo wrestler, taking his hardcore championship, and get this as a sentence, after whacking him with a frying pan at WrestleMania 18 on March 17th, 2002 in Toronto, Canada, I may add. She would of course lose it to Christian after getting a door slammed in her face. Now, that is what happened word for word. I'm not paraphrasing anything, I'm not making anything up. You didn't watch wrestling in that time, that would sound so bizarre, but only that, only you could do that in only wrestling. It is so crazy, but everyone remembers that at WrestleMania 18 when Molly was running, she had her cape and everything, hardcore championship in one hand and scooting along, and bang, gets a door slammed in her face by the one and only Christian. And Christian would win the hardcore championship from Mighty Molly. After splitting up with the Hurricane in the April of 2002, Molly would go back to her previous ring name, of course, of Molly Holly. Now, this is where Molly's ring work and her character work was doing my favourite stuff in the years of 2002 to 2003, 2004-ish. She would win the WWE Women's Championship twice in this time, and she was often the heel that was going against people like Trish Stratus and Lita and Gail Kim and other people in these times, and Victoria, other different women in these times, because she was such a good foil for all these baby faces. In this time, of course, we've talked about it so many times, and as everyone knows, it was more emphasized on what women look like instead of what they could do in the ring. Of course, there was a kind of slight, small, quiet revolution that was going on in this time, maybe a little bit underneath the upper management side of things, and just happening on the very tippy top of the surface, and people like, hey, these women can go, these women can wrestle. Molly, Trish, Lita, Jazz, Victoria, the list goes on and on. But Molly was anti all of the boobs and butts, I guess you could say, the TNA levels that you'd have in WWE at the time. She was the anti-version of what Trish Stratus was presenting in that time. She was doing all of these things, and because of these things, again, like I said, she was the perfect foil, so she would be able to be women's champion, because, you know, you couldn't have Trish always on top. You couldn't have Lita always on top. So you would have these different segments with Molly being on top and Molly being the one that's holding the WWE Women's Championship, so these faces have something to fight for and something to chase. You know, she'll do different things with Trish throughout these years, and again, winning the Women's Championship twice in this time, especially in this time where women were kind of coming and going, and you had Trish Stratus, you had Lita, who were often at the top of the division, you didn't have a lot of underneath There wasn't a lot of women employed by WWE at the time either, so it was kind of this endless cycle. And, you know, some people would come out, some people would come in, some people would kind of go up and down in their career apart from the women at the top, like Trish and Lita. So to have the Women's Championship twice and to have fairly decent reigns throughout that time, it's pretty damn cool to have Molly in this situation and Molly doing great work. You know, when we talk about a lot about Trish on this show, because Trish was the golden girl. She was the one. She was what they wanted to put on posters. She was on all the posters. But when Trish was still learning in the times of 2001, 2002, and, you know, starting to come together in 2003, where Trish was really getting good in the ring, it was because she was working with people like Molly Holly. She was working people that knew what they were doing and could make Trish look like $1 million. That's what a great heel does, is to make a babyface look amazing, and Molly Holly did that in those times. She would, like I said, work with Trish Stratus a lot in these times. She would, again, being that kind of anti-diva-esque role where she would not wear the little outfits that a lot of the other women were doing, and she would cover up a lot more, and she was kind of this, she had a next door look about her, which I really liked, and a lot of people did, and growing up, I didn't really appreciate Molly's work until I understood wrestling a little more. That's when I really was like, Molly Holly is damn good at wrestling, and it's really, really cool to have, it's really cool to have that appreciation for someone's work when a little later, when you weren't in the moment of it and you weren't really understanding what wrestling was. I was only a young kid when, you know, this was going down. I was just a little boy just watching wrestling. So it's cool to have that appreciation a little later on and go, actually, Molly Holly, damn great at professional wrestling. We've all heard the story of WrestleMania 20. The Women's Championship, then held by Victoria, was not originally scheduled to be a part of the event in Madison Square Garden. Molly said, I really want to be able to do something to have Victoria and the Women's Championship featured on the pay-per-view. So she said, I'll shave my head. We can have a hair versus title match. And I'll shave my head. So then the women can be featured in a Women's Championship storyline at WrestleMania 20. Of course, that happened. A different time. A shorter match at WrestleMania at WrestleMania 20 in 2004, Molly lost and she would get her head shaved. Now, again, I say this a lot in some people's mind, this was the best version of Molly Holly. She would have she had obviously a bald head, close to a bald head, and every week she would come out with a different wig, different colored hair, all different kinds of things. She would obviously have a wig on, and every week would be, how do you get this wig off? And boom, there it is, and everyone's laughing at her, and she'd become this comedic role, I guess you could say, in a lot of ways, of everyone just having a good time. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see that. And to graciously put your hair on the line, my God. I mean, I wouldn't even do that, and I didn't even have long hair. So to do that just to get the women featured, that shows how much passion you have for the business. Now, in 2004, I would say that was when the women's division really started to change. You had the introduction of the Raw Diva Search, and you had way more of an emphasis on looks than in-ring stuff. A lot of the times on Raw in 2004 and into 2005, you weren't even seeing women's matches. You were just seeing, like, women featured on the show, but they were doing bikini contests or fashion shows or pillow fights or something. There was less focus on definitely on the wrestling than there ever really had been. So I think that's what led, and even Molly said in many different interviews, that it was time to go. In 2005, in the April of 2005, she said she'd become really disenchanted with WWE. It focused too much on looks rather than any wrestling ability at all. She said that the ultimate reason why she left, she decided to keep private, and still to this day, she's kept the ultimate reason why she left private, but she just said it was time to go and time to take a complete break from WWE and complete break from wrestling and officially retire from wrestling in 2005. Like I stated at the top of the episode, Molly appeared different times throughout in WWE history. She appeared in December of 2007 at the Raw 15th Anniversary Show, WrestleMania 25 in the Miss WrestleMania 25 Diva Battle Royal. She's appeared on Table for Three on the WWE Network. She made her in-ring return on January 28th, 2018 at the Royal Rumble. She was entrant number 12. She eliminated Sarah Logan before being eliminated by Michelle McCool. She inducted Ivory into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2018. She was in the 2018 Evolution pay-per-view in the 20-woman Battle Royal. She reprised her role as Mighty Molly at the Royal Rumble on January 26th, 2020, entering at number 3 before being eliminated by Bianca Belair. She was at Raw Legends Night on January 4th, 2021. And of course, she was inducted into the 2021 WWE Hall of Fame, and rightfully so, way, way too late in my opinion, but she's a damn great example of what women were doing way before the coined evolution. That's going to do it for this week's episode of The Legacy Of. Tell me, of course, your thoughts about Molly Holly in the comments or over on Twitter at @JoshRobinson_00. Of course, as usual, my links and Love Wrestling's links will be in the description box below. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a like on here. Big thumbs up. Let's YouTube know we're doing a good job. If you haven't, click the big red subscribe button. Click the bell for notifications of when Love Wrestling is dropping new videos. Other than that, I will say some people will not be really impressed with this, and I understand. But next week's episode, The Legacy of Victoria, will be the season 1 finale. Oh. I'll have more information on season 2 really soon, but next week's episode will be the last one for a little while, guys. I know, I don't want to be too sad about it, but I need to, you know. You'll hear more about it soon. You'll hear more about season 2. And, you know, we still got another week. We still got Victoria to talk about next week. So don't stress too much. Don't stress too much. On that note, I will see you guys next Monday for some more Legacy of Action. Continue to support everyone here on Love Wrestling. My name's Josh Robinson. I'm signing off. Peace out, everyone.